you again for this day. And certainly, God, we bless your name. We have come again, Lord, that we would lift up and magnify your name. We've come again that we would hear what you are saying to the church. And then, Lord, when we hear your voice, we will obey all that you command. Again, God, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, and certainly, God, that you would make our hearts to be as fertile ground. These words of life would be refreshing, that they would restore us, redeem us again, and Lord, even so the more, cause us to rejoice. And we recognize now that there is none like you, for nobody can do what you do, and you do all things so very well. God, again, we pray for those who are with us and pray that others would join with us. We pray, God, that there would be an overflow. And certainly, God, that we will remember to go and tell the dying world that you are the risen Christ. And there is no other way except through Christ Jesus. God, give us the strength. Give us, Lord, power. Moreover, God, we pray that you would give us this purpose, that we would go and make more disciples. Father, we are honored to be called your children. And certainly, God, we will remember to always keep you first. God, thank you again today, for it is well in our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go and swing by again at Luke chapter 11. As we were talking last week, we were getting into some relationship criteria. And I wanted to, again, look at Luke 11 and verse 27. So it was important to me that we remember, excuse me, verse 28, I'm sorry. I said don't get distracted by 27, but let's look at 28. Verse 28 says, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And I wanted to use that again as we lift it off today. Because that, as we were going out last week, I was telling you there are some relationship issues that you want to be able to address. One is that you not fall into the fault of having a wavering relationship. Don't have a wandering relationship, that you don't have a worthless relationship, and that you don't have a wishful relationship. Now, again, this is a discipline. Everybody in here is different, and everybody does things their way. Amen. Okay, one amen. I'll try again. Everybody is different, and everybody likes to do things their way. Okay. Now, what God requires is that you yield all of that and do it his way. And so you got to surrender, you've got to submit, and you've got to stay. Everything that we do is according to the word of God, if in fact we are disciplined disciples. As I said before, this is not for the independent. This is for the dependent. All things through Christ. And so to be wishful is dangerous, because all of us can be wishful at a time. How many of you wish you had done better? Wish you were smarter? Wish you had more money? You know, the wish lists go. See, we're all wishful. See, nobody had a problem with that. Everybody's wishful about one thing or another. But we cannot simply remain wishful in our relationship with God, because this is our guide. If you do this, do these things, and God will keep every promise that he ever made. So it's not about being wishful. The other thing is we cannot waver. In other words, we all know people that are this way one day and that way another day. You have people who, even on your job, they come in and work like gangbusters for a series of time. Then next thing you know, you can't find them after the coffee break. You have people who just are so nice to you and smile, and you even get scared and wonder what's going on here. You know, and they waver. And so you don't know what to expect. You know, James addressed that in the Word of God. But we can't waver in our relationship with God. We can't, you know, be on fire for the Lord one Sunday and not show up to Bible study on Thursday. You know, we can't be fired up on Thursday and then not be fired up on Sunday. The Bible tells us how to live that life so we don't waver. He says, you know, we will bless the Lord at what? All times. We don't waver. Okay? He says, I'll be steadfast. We don't waver. We'll be consistent, trustworthy, honest. Those things are necessary. And so in this relationship, we can't waver. Now we see wavering in other relationships. There are people who love us today and don't talk to us tomorrow. You know, and there are people who said they never leave and they're already gone. Let us move on. And so they waver. And so but in the body of Christ, Jesus addresses that. Jesus turns around and looks at his disciples and asks them, are they going to waver? He said, are you going to leave me also? Not everybody can say amen to that. We can't waver. We've got to, and here's the other thing. Jesus says, if you put your hands to the plow, you can't look back. That's wavering. How many of you know folk that have wavered? Write their name down and pass it forward. No, don't do that. And so he said, you can't waver. So we can't be wishful. We can't waver. Then he says, you can't wander. You got to stay with me. There are a whole lot of folk that it's all over the map in Christianity. One minute we Baptist, then we Pentecostal, then we apostolic, then we over here, then we over there, then we can't find you. Then you show up after a hiatus and say you was on sabbatical that you can't spell, you know, and so it's too much wandering. You want to be this, then you don't want to be that. And you, the Lord told you this, but the Holy Ghost told you that. It's too much wandering. We don't know who you listening to. Can't have that. Not in the Lord's relationship. He says, those who are with me are doing what I'm doing. They're accountable. I know where they are. I know what's going on. You ever been around folk, you have no idea what's going on? Yeah, can't wander. You can't be, you know, on fire and then cold. He says in the book of the Revelation, we've heard it. He said, listen, you got to be either hot or cold. Got to be one of them. And lukewarm don't cut it. You know, some folk think being in the middle is a good place. That's a good place to get run over. By something, you know. He said, I would that you make up your mind. And then, again, you have to decide for yourself. And then, again, don't make it worthless. Christ died for us. Thank you. I appreciate those amen. That's pretty good right there. Y'all had me worried there for a minute. But I'm going to say it again. He died for us. That's even better. I think if I tried one more time, we might. You can't make this worthless. You can't walk around singing Jesus paid it all and not recognize what it costs. You can't keep quoting John 3:16 and being casual. No, this is priceless. Priceless. Don't make it worthless. Your life is in Christ Jesus. Your sons, your daughters, your all is in Christ Jesus. That's worth everything. If it's worth anything, it's got to be worth everything. That's what he did. The Bible said he thought it not robbery. And the fact of the matter is, you and I are the ones who show the world the true value of Christianity. They see us. Remember we talked about it, being global. You're lights. You're salt. You are the essence of everything that is Christ Jesus. Why do you say that, Pastor? He said, because everything I am, you are. He said, I gave you everything. I won't deny you anything. He said, everything my daddy had, he gave me. And everything he gave me, I gave y'all. And he stands before the Father and says, I haven't lost any of them. He didn't say some of them didn't run away, though. Some of them do. We devalue the relationship we have. We devalue his work on the cross. You can't just walk around with a nice, fancy crucifix around your neck. And what you paid for the cross is more than you put in his offering plate. You can't walk around with an ornamental relationship in the Lord and not understand every ordinance and every command. You can't put bumper stickers in your car and say, honk if you love Jesus. And when people honk, you flip them off. You forgot the bumper sticker you put back there. You can't put a sign on John, follow me as I follow Christ, and then turn around and go, what you following me for? You got to get it right. You have an obligation to him, not an ornamental relationship and a relationship of obligation. But the word obligation is even minimized because some of us are out of obligations. How many of you ever signed a contract that you didn't keep? Yeah, you signed a contract and no, you didn't keep it. You were obligated, but you defaulted. And then you had the nerve to fight the default. But I changed my mind. No, you signed a contract. Well, I'm a higher lawyer. You can't opt out with God. You made it worthless. We're not going to put him back on the cross. He's not going to get up there no more. And some folk walk around, well, Jesus got to die just for me. He already did die just for you. What it is, you got to live for him. We seem to miss the point that he's already died. Now it's for us to live. Paul said it. He said, for him to die is one thing, but for him to live, that's gaining for Christ. See, people looking at you, whether you know it or not, you can't tell them to divert their eyes. Don't look at me. No, they got a right to look at you. You said that you were a Christian. You said that you were a servant. They got a right to look at you. And you don't get to opt out because you're having a bad day or you don't like certain people. It's worthless then. Paul said that. Paul said, what I've done is I've increased the value of Christ and devalued my own life. So you walk around, a lot of us like walk around, and you like Paul, I count it as dung. Well, no, you counting wrong. Christ be lifted up. Christ be glorified. The glory belongs to the Lord. He's willing to share a little bit with us, but don't make this worthless. Don't turn Christianity into a mockery and shame and the hypocrisy. It, you know, people call us what they call us because they think they got evidence. Yeah, check your own life before you start checking other people's life. And we can't afford to do that. He said, even more blessed are folk who do this word. And doing the word is not casual. It's not wandering and wishful. It's not wavering. It's not by being worthless. It is attending to everything God told us to attend to. All of it. Nudge your neighbor and say, all of it. Abiding means abiding. Abiding is not about when I feel like it, because I ought to always feel like it. I have to feel it. We got to gird up every day. We got to get ourselves together. He said, listen, if you really want a blessed life, do this word. He didn't say you have to dress the part. He said, live it. Because, you know, when you take your church clothes off, you still you. And when you put your church clothes on, you still you. When you cross town, uptown, downtown, out of town, you still you. And he says, if you're abiding, you abide forever. There's no sabbaticals. There's no time off. You think Jesus didn't want a day off? He'd like to have a day off. Couldn't have one day off. Couldn't even get 20 minutes break. Jesus trying to get a nap, they come wake him up. Jesus trying to eat by himself, they come bother. He said, listen, why don't y'all go home? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, it's abiding. And an abiding means connection. It means commitment. Here, too, that it means that we don't like to talk about. It means consecration. You got to be holy. I ain't getting a lot of amen. Thank you, Sister Walker. You came just in time. It means consecration. Nudge your neighbor and on the low say, be holy. Look at them. Check them out. See how they're looking when you say that. It requires holiness. Who wouldn't want to deal with somebody that's more holy, righteous, compassionate, a good student of the gospel? Their word, when their word comes out, it is the word of the Lord. We were commanded to speak as oracles of God. It requires holiness. And holiness is not inconvenient to us. You know when holiness becomes inconvenient? When you play with it. When you turn it on and turn it off. It becomes inconvenient. But when it's your life, it's your life. And then it requires conviction. We're all guilty. I'm waiting on some more amens. Yeah. Everybody's guilty. We ought to throw our hands up in the air and wave them like we just don't care. Everybody's guilty. All have sinned. We've heard it over and over again, but don't make that casual. Don't just throw that out there as an interesting statement to make in a company of a few folk. You know, I all have sinned. Why? Because you just got caught. It's amazing to me how folk want to bring that up when it's their turn. But when it's somebody else's turn, shame, shame, shame. No, 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 no. Conviction is so necessary. And out of conviction comes correction. Nudge your neighbor. Say, just do better. Got to want to do better. Jesus did it. You know, we like to take that story about the woman caught in the very act of adultery and pretend, I guess, that there is no correction. There is a correction there. There's conviction there. He didn't say, oh, they lying on you. He just gave her a chance to be honest with herself. Because can I give you another bonus? Until you can be honest with you, you can't be honest with nobody. You know who you is, who you are, whatever the word is properly attached. Conviction says, I repent. That's one of the words that we've seen to ease out of the church vocabulary. We don't like to talk about repentance. We just like forgiveness. But forgiveness and repentance are first cousins. Because when he offers you forgiveness, it's because you've repented. No forgiveness comes without repentance. I don't care who you think you are. Care how much you cried and wallowed and crawled. Until you have repented, there is no forgiveness. Well, he wants to forgive you. How many of you got people in your life that you know, people that you meet every day, that you want to forgive? You want to be, but they haven't repented. The Bible says if you've done somebody wrong, you need to go back and tell them you're sorry. And everybody mess up and step on toes and footsies every now and then. You know when you do people wrong. You can tell, can't you? You know when you offended somebody, especially when you know you meant to do it. You meant to say it sharp like that. Mama used to say all the time, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And sometimes some of us can get sharp in the tongue, especially when we're trying to show out in front of other folk. We want to see folk, let us see folk set other folk straight. You get around your little pally-wallies and you want a high side on people. That's what we call it down south, high side, signifying. You didn't have to say that. And some people get sick of you doing it and will come and say, you know, you didn't have to do that. Oh, I just get it off my mind. Well, your mind's so small, you need to keep all you can on it so it don't float away. You gotta be nice to people. The Bible says do what? Have love for the brethren and sisters and cousins. And such. But you can't ask God to forgive you and enjoy your forgiveness and you won't give forgiveness. The same measure which you have received, you ought to give. And some of us were rascals. Look around and point out three rascals. Hurry up. Yeah. Some of us were. And so he said, listen, you want to really bless life? You don't just hear this, but you put it into practice. And then he tells us this. He said, not only must there be correction, he said, but I like celebration. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. I've always said that the church, the house of God, ought to be the noisiest house on the block. Ought to always be something going on there. Why? Because the redeemed of the Lord have gathered. You can't walk around and talk about, oh, when the saints go mark, and you can't even come to church. And it's right down the street from you. You ain't going to go marching in if you can't come up the street. You can't lift up and magnify the Lord if you don't live your life to lift up and magnify the Lord. The Bible says this, his praise shall always, forever, on my lips. You can't be rolling your eyes because the other folk got it together and you don't. You having a bad Sunday night, you want to make the church quiet. The Bible says silence in the name of the Lord. No, don't be talking. That all the earth keeps silent. Why? Because you're having a bad Sunday or a bad Thursday. You know, I've always believed that who you is going to eventually show up. Who you're pretending to be going to get tired and leave you. Amen. The real you going to show up. The old folk used to say that drunk men speak their sober mind. There's a real you in there somewhere. Yeah, you can fry, die, and throw it to the side, but the real you going to show up eventually. You're going to get tired of running around the church and dancing. That real you going to get here one Sunday. And somebody going to say, what's going on? Don't worry about me. That's there you are. But those who love the Lord love him. Amen. And so he said, I want to be celebrated. And again, everybody ought to do it in their own real way. You know, this newfangled thing about teaching folk tongues and praise room and the dance class and the and you know, everybody ain't gonna. I know the songs that everybody in the club get tipsy, but you know, don't act like y'all don't know that song. The reality for us is we ought to celebrate the Lord genuinely. What does he say? My Father is going to look for a church, a real church, and those who worship me in spirit and in truth. True worshipers are true worshipers. That simple. You don't have to do what nobody else do. You're Vicky. You're Melvin. You're Jasmine. You don't think the Lord knows you? The Lord knows who knows how to get down and who don't know how to get down. The Lord knows those who can dance and who can't. Everybody can't dance. Marvin Gaye explained it well. He said he would go out and party and just stand around. Why? It ain't that he didn't want to. He was just too nervous to really get down. But he got out on the floor. And his body began to, okay, y'all got it. That's what happened. He got caught up in the spirit of the thing. The reality for us is we too phony to take time to be real. Stop trying to be somebody else, just be you. Celebrate God your way. Some of us are hand wavers, some are head shakers, some cry, some just crimp the lip, some just raise the eyebrow. God knows you. That's why I said some months ago, probably been a long time, I'm tired of being a worship cheerleader. Gotta come on, y'all. Stand up, y'all. Let's give God. If you don't want to give it to him, then you keep it. Because whatever we're trying to pry out of you ain't real. So if you just going to sit here and look up at the ceiling and admire that little stain that we can't seem to get painted. You know, I don't know, but I know this. I never will forget what the Lord's done for me. I will bless the Lord at all times. And that doesn't mean you got to be running and stuff. Stop being phony. To bless the Lord ought to come from your heart, then off your lips. But he loves to be celebrated. So you have to understand, beloved of God, that there is a consecration requirement to be holy. There must be an understanding of your own convictions. And this must be daily, because every day we do something wrong. Some of y'all on the 10-minute cycle, some of y'all on the 60-minute cycle. Some of y'all, if y'all do something wrong every 20 minutes, you think you're on your way out of here. I mean, we do what we do, but we got to always say, Lord, I'm sorry. Some of us can't go 5 steps without saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. He said, why you keep stopping for? I just had to repent. I'm sorry. What you holding up the line? Well, y'all better go around me because of what's on my mind. That's just who we are. But if you're going to be holy, you got to understand conviction. And if you understand conviction, you got to understand correction. The Bible says, spare the rod, you spoil the child. The most tragic words of my youth was this, and I heard it quite often, you're going to get a whooping. Well, I pretty much knew I deserved it already. It wasn't no real surprise to me. It's just that they got me again. My brother used to ride up the road and find me and say, Mama say, come home, you're going to get a whooping. Now, what kind of invitation is that? Do you really think I'm going to hurry and come home just for that? Now, if you say, Mama say, come home, we got peach cobbler, I'm on my way. But you're going to get a whooping. I said, tell her you ain't seen me. And he said, but I'll be lying. You ain't never lied before. I mean, you know, it's just conviction, correction. And again, please understand, love of God, there has to be There has to be these things. We created a church where everybody act like they ain't never done nothing. Jesus died for automobiles. No. Houses, jobs, college. Oh, sure. Sin, that's what it is. So then that means what? That's us. You know, somebody say, he died for me because he's not ashamed of it. You know how I know he's not ashamed of it, Melvin? He said, it is for this cause that I came into the world. Thank you, Brother Thomas. That's right. Good student. He said, that's why I didn't come just to be celebrated. He said, I could have stayed in heaven where we really know how to party. Angels up there singing about me all day long. He said, I didn't come for no other. He said, for this cause. They looked at him and said, you hanging out with the wrong people. He said, mm-hmm. He said, you got a devil in you yourself. He said, nope, Satan can't stop Satan. Can't, no, that ain't my problem. This is why I came. He said, the sick needed me. I came to set the captives free. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, right there. Talking about shackles on my feet won't let me move. Jesus came for this. And so he said, I would that you at least show some appreciation and thank me. John 6, please. Right there next to Luke. You don't have far to go. John 6 reminds us. And again, let's not turn the church into just a shout house. The real worship is about salvation. We've been saved. We're very thankful for that. And salvation is not in your job. It's not in your good. You know, people try to find salvation in a lot of places. Some salvation is in a bottle of different spirits. Isn't that funny? They call liquor and alcohol spirits. That's interesting. Somebody do research and come back and let me know how that happened. But some find salvation in drugs. Just want to be free. Some find salvation in recreation. You know, oh, when I'm out there on the golf course, oh, when I'm playing basketball, I feel free. Oh, and I'm, yeah. And I tell you, there ain't no other salvation save that which is found in Christ Jesus. Some people's salvation is money. They think because they got a little money, everything's good. No, you ain't got all the money. You got some of it. You ain't got all of it. No, tell your neighbor, you ain't got all of it. Oh, you got some of it. You got some of it. All of us wish we had a little bit more of it, I guess. I don't know. I reckon. But salvation is nowhere but Christ. John 6, everybody there? Look at what he says. Can I help you? Come on over to the 47th verse. And look at what he said. I assure you. I love that. I like it when the Lord talk like that. Anyone, that's all y'all, who believes in me, you got it going on. Anybody, the lotties and the dotties, the tall, the thin, the short, the fat, the rich, the poor, the handsome, the overly handsome, the underly handsome, the strugglers, the getting overs, anybody who believes. Now, here's a problem. Here's a problem. You need to know what you believe. You need to know who you believe. You know why you believe. And just out of curiosity, we'd like to know, when did you believe? Where do you believe? And see, this is so necessary, and we try to avoid this intimate bit of information. Because we believed in a lot of stuff that has no merit whatsoever and have held true to it. We're coming into a season where there's a certain belief that has existed for years, and he gets celebrated more than Jesus. We turn this guy into the December 25th model and forgot the majesty of the model. We don't even call it the Lord's birthday anymore. We give it a whole nother name and try to suggest that because the first part of it is called Chris, it's related to the Christ. No, that ain't why they call it that. Y'all ain't talking back to me.
We believe. We got into it. We decorate our house based on that belief. We buy stuff, go into debt based on that belief. But what about Christ? Do you really believe? Jesus said, anybody who believes in him, in him, in him. Now, again, let's just go back and look at our belief system, because it is so easily tainted and put askew. How many of you have ever had somebody try to convince you that this way is the right way and that way is the wrong way? And you, oh, some revelation comes along, some epiphanous moment, and you get switched over. Y'all remember that cigarette guy, what was that, Tarkington or Lucky Strike? Which one was it that said, I'd rather fight than switch? Tarkington, yeah, got a black eye. Some of us would rather switch than fight. People come along and tell us that this ain't the right way, and next thing you know, our sons and daughters are claiming to be Muslims because they done got around a crew that don't eat meat and they don't eat this and they only vegans and they're telling them that this is the pure way. And next thing you know, our kids burning candles in their room, not in my house. Put your little hat on when you get outside and your beads, not here. Amen. You need to know what you believe. Who you believe? When did you, how many ever had your mom say, when you that? I mean, you done made a systematic change. I'm going to fight for Jesus. He fought for me. Amen. He says, anybody who believes, but you need to know what you believe. And why do you believe that? What convinced you of that? This is what convinced me. The whole word. I don't need no soothsayer. I need no Houdini. I don't need all that stuff. All I need is for you to open the book, and I can open the book, and we can agree. When you say turn to John 6, I can find John 6 in my book too. I don't need you to close the book and then tell me, you know, John 6 says, and I can't verify that. We need to authenticate. How do we authenticate? Well, we got enough base knowledge to know the difference. Everybody in this room need to know what John 6 and 4-7 means. Anybody who believes, what do you believe? Why? I'm not saying you got to write a dissertation. I'm just saying you ought to be able to give the basic answer. People ask me, why do you believe in Jesus? Because he died for my sins. Can you prove it? Don't have to. I got to prove nothing. What I do know, there's going to come a day when you better hope you ain't wrong. Because I'm pretty sure I'm right. Amen. And everybody's going to stand before him. In all religions in the world, and there are thousands of them, our book is the book that says everybody going to come see me. Jesus said that. Jesus said, oh, everybody coming this way. I am the way, the truth. Hallelujah. Nobody else can't say that. They be lying anyway. I believe him. I am convinced that Jesus is Lord. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going. That's the kind of stuff that you ought to be able to shout about right there. Don't need no choir for that one. All I need is the book or the app. Now we got apps. I'm going to check him out. He said, come and see. Come follow me. And go back and tell others what you saw. See, that makes us witnesses. But if you ain't seen nothing, nope, back up, Leroy, you missed the point. If you ain't looking for nothing, you ain't going to see nothing. And if you ain't listening, you ain't going to hear nothing. And if you don't hear nothing, you can't say nothing. I feel better. That's our problem. We don't know what we believe. We don't know why. Well, my mama said, okay, that's a good starting point. But mama ain't got no heaven nor hell. And whatever mama said, check it out. Now don't go back and tell her she was wrong. Just keep that to yourself. And you discover mama was off a little bit. Just let that go to the grave. Amen. I tried it once, twice. It went bad for me. I'm telling you, it always goes bad when you go back and tell mama she was wrong about this church thing, you know. Watch what he goes on to say. Am I helping you a little bit? He says, yes. I am the bread of life. That's good enough for me.
He didn't say nobody else was. He said, I am. And then he said this. He said, your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. However, I like them howevers. The bread from heaven gives eternal life to everyone who eats it. I feel Isaiah coming in saying, oh, you can come and buy without cost. Come get milk and honey and bread. Fill your belly till you can't want no more. There's a song we used to sing in the church that said, feed me until I want no more. Bread of heaven. Y'all ain't talking back to that. That's old school church right yonder. You know, you have a God who says, I'll feed you. You know, he got in trouble for that. Somewhere around John 6, a little further down, he said, come on and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. They said, this man is crazy. How can he ask us to do such a thing? And Jesus said, oh, y'all missing the point. How many of you have been around folk who missed the point? Try to be all deep, try to be profound. Let's just keep it simple, stupid. That's what we say in the military. Let's just keep it simple, stupid. The reality for us is this is not complicated. This just requires a little commitment of the mind to think on these things. You know, Paul told the church in Philippi, he said, just think about it. I feel Aretha Franklin coming in. You better think. Think about what you're trying. Okay. He says, she was a Christian. You know, she started out in the church. Her roots is still in the church. You need to think. You know why? He said, let this mind be also. See, that's an invitation to think like God. How many of you have been around folk try to get you to think their way? Try to get you to see it, trying to see it my way. That's not so. You need the mind of Christ. And he says, why? You've been given that. How do you know? He said, we have the mind of Christ. Paul comes and says to the church at Corinth, he said, when I first came, my speech was not profound. I wasn't trying to blow y'all away, but what I was trying to give y'all was Christ. And he said, I hope I was successful. He says, because I'm going to leave. I'm going on just like he went on. But I pray thee well that you got this. Roman church, he told him, be ye transformed by the renewing. Tell your neighbor, you ought to do that. Some of us are drunk thinkers. We're intoxicated by our world and cannot give God the room to maneuver. We're just drunk on the world. We're so busy. Chasing after the dollar, chasing after love, chasing after popularity. We're drunk on the world. Instead of pacing ourselves and getting the priority straight, seek ye first. Ain't got no amens right there. Got quiet on me. Seek ye first. Go for it. What are you going for? I'm going for the Lord. We have pumped our children up amiss by telling them to go to school, get an education. You tell our daughters and our sons to find a wife and a husband and all that kind of stuff. And we don't push Christ. We've been pushing them. What you gonna be when you grow up? But we didn't push Christ. How many of you, and I'm not knocking you, but let me just show you the error of the thing. Many of us put money aside for college, universities, and we save college fund. That's fine. It's good to be a thinker. But you putting money away for a child to go to school that you don't even bring to Bible study. You putting money in a trust fund and you don't even trust the Lord. You around here going, you driving to colleges and universities for college day and camp day, and you don't even bring them to church. Matter of fact, you plan your weekends not to be in church. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, some folk like to do that first part, but don't do the second part. Righteousness is a requirement. Do me right. Do me good. Righteousness. How you treat me tells me how you've loved the Lord. Because he said, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Ain't nobody seen God around here. And you can't even love me. And you looking right at me. Amen. When you look at me, you telling me something.
When you look away from me, you're telling me something. When you can't look at me, you're telling me something. And then you want to run to the front of the church and spin around. Ain't nobody buying that. You don't get up and preach till the paint come off the wall. We ain't buying that. You can't even say good afternoon. You can't say good morning. How to do. You can't sit by me. You looking at the back of my head, waving the usher off like you're an aircraft controller. We ain't buying it. Righteousness is not an option just to be exercised on the people you like. I'd do anything for Sister Anderson. That's my friend. Even better not look at me. Well, hold on there, sister. We got a problem. You're unrighteous. You're going to feed her and starve her. Both of them need to eat. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm an usher, the chief elder. I'm an overseer. And righteousness, I wish. No. And his righteousness, his version of it, not yours. You know, all of us got our self-righteousness. Everybody got it. Everybody got a little indignation and little, you know, that's all right. You gotta balance that thing though. Because you know, it's not a bad thing to think a little bit of yourself. Now the Bible said, don't think too highly. In fact, it says, better esteem others. Nudge your neighbor and say, I'm gonna bump you up a bit. Amen. You ain't got nobody to bump up. I'm gonna come over and let you bump me up. Go on and say it. Yeah, hold on to that one. Yeah, I mean, you ought to push somebody else, make them feel better. You know, just say, oh, you look so nice today. That's all it takes. Just a look, just something that's encouraging me. Just say, sure, it's nice to see you. Amen. I mean, just a little something. You know, hold others in a little more esteem. Don't be, it ain't all about you. If you want to be about you, get you a mirror. Stay there as long as you want. But in reality, even the mirror's sick of you. You remember the mirror in the fairy tale? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who are the fairest of them all? It ain't you, I can tell you that right now. Break the mirror. You know, I mean, that's he. Look, watch what he says. He says, please understand, anybody who eats this bread is going to live forever. The bread is my flesh. Watch this now. Offered so that the world will live. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. And the old folk would say, and they were show right in a time right long through here, who wouldn't serve a God like that? God is so wonderful. And because he loved you like that, you mean you can't love me? You can't be my friend? You can't encourage me. You can't feed me when I'm hungry. Give me a cup when I'm thirsty. You can't offer me a shelter in the time of a... You got a God who said, I will be all that to you. And he said, if you've done anything for me, you've done it to the least of these. Everybody know that there's a day going to come when you're going to need somebody. And that's when we're going to know that the God in you can bless the God in me. Amen. He goes on. He said, now that's where true salvation is. And please understand that your belief system is going to cause you to either be in or out of eternal life. Do you know the Lord does not intend to kick anybody out? You know, folk who ain't going to make it, going to not make it by their own devices. I heard him say it, Reverend, y'all tell him. He said, I would that no man would perish. He said, they're going to choose it themselves. Folk going to choose to go to hell. Y'all can stop sending them. They're going to choose it already. You ain't got to send nobody else. From now on, take that out of your vocabulary. Don't be telling nobody else to go. They're going to choose on their own. He said, you know what? I don't want nobody. He said, I came to save all of them. But some of them are going to choose by their own mind. Nobody going to Houdini them. Ain't nobody going to hoodwink them. They're going to choose it. And I can tell you now,
that there's a whole lot of bad choices being made right along through here. Christ is just an inconvenience to many now until they need bail money, get a poor doctor's report, get a pink slip. Then they want everybody in the church to pray. They're calling for the elders, all the king's horses and all the king's men. Y'all pray for me. They laying all folk. Well, you ain't been to church. We thought you were working every Sunday anyhow. We thought you can't fool God. And you ain't fooling us. Because all we don't know, we make up. We fill in our own blanks. You know what I'm saying to you? The Lord says, I don't want y'all to perish. I don't want anybody to miss out on this eternal life. It's right in the text. He said, anybody who really believes, their eternal arrangements are set. Confirmation numbers have been dispersed throughout the land, but some folk won't even take the confirmation. People choose to die. Remember that man is just standing between the lake, between death and eternal life, and he said, Lord, send somebody back. The Lord said, they got to choose. They can go to church next Sunday. They can go to Bible study Thursday. They got the prophets. You here now. Now, if you really want to go over there with them, you do know you can't come back. I always love that verse in scripture. There's a great gulf between us. Y'all can't come over here. And ain't none of us trying to get over there. I know that, right, Jesus? Somebody hollered from the back. Yeah. Anybody trying to go over there? It's going to be some folk over there we're going to look at and go, I told you. The Lord going to say, hold on now. Well, I just thought I'd get that. You do know some of us going to wind up in time out even when we get to heaven. I'm going to be one of you. They're going to say, look, they go pastor over there in time out again. Be sitting over in that little chair like this. How many more minutes you got? Pastor, about five. Five out and five in. I'm going to be back over there in a minute. Let's go to John 14. We've been using this in noonday, so if you come to noonday, y'all just act like y'all ain't never heard this. John 14. Now, again, this is why it's critical. No wishful, no wandering, no wavering, none of that kind of crazy stuff, because the absolutes are the absolutes. We know and we teach that the Bible is the absolute truth without any measure, no controversy, no debate. The absolutes are the absolutes. Now, I'm not talking about the kind they sell at the store. Now, see, that was a setup, because anybody who know what I just said, you've been in the store, but that's all right. But anyway, I put a little note here. Say, let's see who fall for it. I know exactly who said amen. I heard y'all. John 14. Now watch what the Lord said. This is for you. This is for you. Jesus said, verse 6, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now watch what he said. If you had known, now why don't you know? There's no reason for us not to know. This people were not as fortunate as you are. These people are watching the gospel unfold right in front of them. We've got history now. We've got, as the Hebrew writer would later say, a great cloud of witnesses. Us done seen this kind of carrying on before. We ought to know better. Okay. He said, if you had known, watch this now, so we can take that out because we do know, but we ain't going to take it out because it say don't remove anything with John the Tittle. He said, if you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him. And you've seen him. Why? You saw me. Now, not me, me, him. Jesus said to Thomas, touch me. Feel for yourself. He said, and Thomas, here's a bonus. Bless you now because you see me. But a greater blessing. I like tell your neighbor, that's us. We got more than Thomas did. Are those who believe me and haven't seen. I'm looking for him way out on the hill.
And I'm going to see him someday. But I believe him. Without a shadow of doubt, I am convinced. There are some things I'm not sure of. I'm not sure they went to the moon. I'm not sure. But this I know. Jesus is real. I'm not sure how airplanes fly, but I like riding them. You see that new Delta commercial yet, Melvin? Where the plane is going down the runway and all you see the little stripes on the ground. I mean, I love, man, I'd be replaying. That guy with that voice is something about the way he's talking, you know. He said, we go higher. We just go. Man, that thing's going down. And at first, I didn't know what it was. Then I realized, and then when it comes off the ground, man, it's, I feel like I'm the pilot. You know, there are two things left in life I want to do. One, fly an F-16. No, I ain't going to get to do it, but I'm hoping that maybe they'll leave the keys in one. Find it. And two, drive a NASCAR race car. Man, that's it. After that, I'm on my way. So if you miss me from singing down here and you can't find me nowhere, I flew that F-16 and I drove the race car and I got on out of here. You know, I mean, there is, I know y'all thinking he don't want much. See if y'all know anybody who let me do that. But here it is. He says, now you know me. Yeah, you haven't seen me, but Thomas, bless you, son. But them who believe, see, you, what do you believe? I am convinced that Jesus is Lord. I don't know how an ocean liner does not sink, and I can't stand in water. I don't weigh tons and metric tons. You know, they just released a Norwegian vessel. That thing is huge. It looked like a city on the water. I'm not getting on nothing that big. I don't care what they say. That thing ain't supposed to be floating around like that. But I believe Jesus. I don't understand a whole lot of things, but I believe Jesus. I can't explain the theory of nothing. I don't even know how I move just like that. But I tell you this, I believe Jesus. So he says, now, if you had known, you do better. And you ought to do better. All right? Anybody who believes in the Lord ought to follow the plan. You should not be resistant after you believe. Reverend, you finna start something. I sure am. Don't make no sense to me how folk who have confessed with their mouth claim to believe in their heart and are not faithful to God. You go to your job. You sleep in your bed every night if you can. You cook at your stove. You do all of that. Everything else in your life is so routine except the Lord. Some of y'all are more consistent about the world than you'll ever be about the Lord. Don't say nothing, Reverend. It's your anniversary. You're messing up. So, too late now. It don't make no sense. I can go to Lynchburg College. I'm going to find Pat Price. I go to DMV, I find Miss Brody. I go to training school, I find Miss Mitchell. I go to where you live, you're there. I go to Home Depot, I can find Deacon Anderson, find Deacon Richburg. You know, I used to go in Kroger, I can find Brother Thomas. I go to Danville, look around, I find Brother McKenzie. Blah, blah, blah. I can find y'all. I know where y'all live. I go to Walden Pond. As soon as that arson investigation over, Jennifer gonna come back outside. But I might find Jennifer. You know, it all depends on what they find on the third. I mean, you know, it's some of y'all, I go to Bank of the James. I can find Sister Susan. I know where y'all is. How come I can't find folk in the place all of us ought to be able to meet? This is our place. Mama say, if you ain't home, you ain't nowhere. This is the Lord's house. This is our regular, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, church. The time is upon us when folk don't come to the Lord's house. The Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me, he'll let me come in. How are you going to let him in if you ain't home? This is where we, this tells me your consistency right here. You are not your job. You're not even your own. You belong to the Lord. You know, we said be there or be square. When this, listen, we read the training schedule. Training schedule say formation is 0645. We didn't go in there and try to argue with nobody. We made sure we were there at 0640. You know, whatever time. You got there early. We attended to the matter. Especially as you moved up in rank, you became more responsible. Y'all seasoned saints. Ain't no rookies in here. And you mark my word, it's going to change around here in a little bit. Then again, who knows? I mean, you know what's really troubling to me is when folk get upset because they're guilty. If anything, when I'm guilty, I'd be remorseful. I'd say I'm going to do better next time. I wouldn't keep doing the same silly thing and then have an attitude because I keep doing the same silly thing. You keep choosing to do the wrong thing. You heard what Gladys Knight said. I don't want to do wrong, but it's been so long that I can't help myself. Then she got down and said, but it's real. It's real. Oh, yes, it is. It's out of my hand. That's what's wrong with some of us. We out of hand. Hey, he better not be calling me. Don't be sending me no emails. I sent some of our disciples a little note, you know, a few weeks back on email. You know, they gave me the email address. I thought that meant I could email them. Some of them didn't even answer me. I said, holler back if you hear me. They didn't even answer me. How do you not answer the man of God? But let your young'un get sick. Or let grandma need you. Pastor should have been here. Well, you should have been here. Don't come to see me only in crisis. Let's get together and do this thing. Let's lift up and magnify together. I got my thing right here. Don't think I ain't got it. You know, it tells me that they're making a choice. Jesus says, I am the way. He said, anybody who believes in me ought to do certain things. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, if you will, and I'll be giving you your leisure. Mark 16, go backwards. Mark 16, M-A-R-K, Mark 16. Got to say it right, Mark. Not Mark, Mark. Mark chapter 16. Everybody there? Now watch this. This is beautiful. Everybody there? I know y'all got them electronic devices. Y'all move quickly, but some of you page turners, you know, you're still here. Mark 16. All right, watch this. I have a New Living Translation. Verse 15. Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Why we can't grow the church? There's a lot of everyone's out there, and there's a lot of everywhere. Now, what he says is not just to the pastor. It's not just to the deacon. The Bible here says he told them. How many of y'all qualify as a them? Here's your assignment. Keep you in alignment. Here's your authority. He said, go everywhere. Don't just go to Windhurst. Don't just go to Boonesboro. Go everywhere and give good news to everyone. You are not going to help us grow the church by condemning folk and criticizing folk and treating folk like they don't matter. Bring them some good news. You can start by doing the old nursery rhyme thing. Jesus loves you. I thought you ought to know. Hey, friend, I just thought I'd let you know the Lord loves you. We know each other, of course we do. We're brothers and sisters in faith. I've got good news for you. The Lord wants you to come to his house. It's a party, a regular throwdown fest. The Lord's going to be there. He's good news. The good news is you can be healed. The good news is you can recover. All you got to do is talk to people. Do you know that failure is a part of everybody's life? Shortcomings, disappointment, heartache. And you can simply bring good news by saying, you're going to be all right. I heard you've been going through, but the good news is it's going to get better. I don't know how you say that. Sit down and talk to him. Tell me what's on your mind. That's good news. Good news says, listen, you ain't the first one, but I want you to know that out of all of your failures, success is coming. Walt Disney was a failure. You know how many people Colonel Harlan Sanders took his Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe to before somebody finally took it? Over 1,000. Thank God somebody finally took that thing rest. Woo, yes, thank you, Jesus. You know how many times Edison fell before he got the light bulb right? You know how many times, you know, Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard? And look at him now. You know how many people laughed at him? Look at old Bill Gates with them geek glasses on. He didn't even make this. And they probably, some of them now, can I get a job, Bill? I was in your freshman class. Ain't you the guy that laughed at me? No, that wasn't me. Failure. Everybody fails. That's good. You can go to somebody and say, you know what? Failure is a stepping stone, not a tombstone. I said something right there. Don't let your failure be a tombstone. Make it a stepping stone. Good news. He said, go give everybody the good news. Now watch what he said. Now I'll let y'all go. He says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, if that ain't good news right there, I don't know what to tell you. We ain't got to turn the church into no shout houses. We ain't got to have no fake prayer lines. We ain't got to do no fake speaking in tongues. We got one verse that can change the whole world. Anybody who believes, let's work on building that belief system. Let's help them to understand what it means, fancy tool time, to get the biblical training and spiritual principle. And get them in that water. As I said before, we gotta learn how to shift this paradigm a little bit. We gotta make sure that people understand what it means to belong to Christ. You're not a bunch of independent soloists. You belong to Christ. And believing is a part of belonging. And belonging is a part of believing. He said, that's for anybody. You tell your friends and neighbors who walk around and talk about, no, I'm too bad now, I'm too far gone, you still qualify as an anybody. Your situation is not terminal. God is not in the business of disqualifying. He still does invitations. Remember when he did that big banquet feast illustration, when the Bible says that the landowner, the homeowner, had prepared a great feast and all of them highfalutin folk decided not to come? He said, I tell you what, go out there and compel folk, grab folk off the street, bring them on. We're going to eat up this rack of lamb. We're going to chow down. We're going to drink up all this wine punch, and we're going to get on down. And he says, anybody, just bring them in and sit them in a good chair and dress them in a fine robe. You know, that's some kind of dinner party when you go and they got clothes for you. And the Bible said, put them on a good coat and put them in a good place. He said, anybody who believes and is baptized will be saved. Salvation is a process. This is what we got to do. You ain't got to be baptized. The devil is a liar. Yes, you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You don't get baptized in the name of Donald Trump, money, all these other crazy. You need to understand, and we need to be able to articulate to people what we understand. If you don't know, you can't say. You're not helping us grow the ministry. You're sitting up in the church in ignorance, casual attending. You got to be committed. You got to be consecrated. Not only as unto the Lord, but to everybody. All this pretend relation and pretend religion, we ain't got to do it. You know, we spend more energy being phony than it takes to be real. Grandma put it this way. You got to remember the lie you told so you don't tell another lie. If you tell the truth stands on its own. George Washington, come here. Did you chop down the cherry tree, George? Yes, I did. I certainly did. It's that simple. The tree is down. Somebody did it. Abe Lincoln. Abe wasn't even born yet, George. What are you doing? You know, So again, he says, anybody who does, now watch this, and we'll take this up next opportunity. But anyone, now see, this is why you had to go get your cousins and nieces and nephews some good news, because the Lord said, anyone who refuses to believe, already condemned. Go tell them you ain't got to die like that. Oh, we're going to all die. But that song they sing, soon we'll be leaving. All of us going to die, but you ain't got to die like that. Y'all remember that old nursery rhyme thing? Old Lady Dinah died. How she died? She died like this, you know. Y'all remember that nursery? Have you heard the news? What news? Old Lady Dinah died. How she died? And then you have to strike a pose, you know. Y'all ain't lived yet. Y'all need to go home with me and hang out in the South. I'm gonna take y'all back to Jacksonville. We're gonna, y'all ain't, have you heard the news? What news? But here he said, anyone. Now listen. Even that little boy right there know how to refuse. Even babies know how to refuse. They know how to say no. You try to put in, you try to feed them and have baby food all in, they turn it. That's refusing. Everybody know how to do it. So my friend, everybody know how to do it. And some folks good at it. You ever seen stubborn people? And then have to strike the pose when they stubborn. So you can see it. But he said, anyone, and that means preachers' children, pastors' children, deacon children. You think your child going to heaven just because you a preacher, a deacon, or because you a saint, or because you go to your child going to hell just like anybody else's child if they refuse Christ Jesus. And all the praying and chanting and knocking the flowers over and get the reverend to say a good sermon ain't gonna change none of that. I've said it before, Jess, and I've said it again. Some funerals are just too easy. Because I ain't got any work on this one. I can just stand up and go, and the undertakers, please come. You know what we can do for him? Because people will get mad if you ever but that honest. One day I'm going to be that honest. When I get a little bit older, I ain't going to have no excuses. I'm just going to stand up and go, oh, I just. And we're not even going to sing I'll Fly Away because it ain't no good. Ain't nobody else lying. I can't wait to get that old. And you know, have a folk going to be in the audio. Y'all know Reb old now. I can't wait to get that old. I ain't got to do no more lying. I ain't got to do them say. By then we'll be in our new church. We're going to go out. We ain't going to have to go out the back door. We just, soon as I come out, I'm just going to say, all rise. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Amen. Bless the food that had been prepared. And we gone. Anyone who refuses to believe is already condemned. What are we going to put on a show for? Matter of fact, I may just go down to the funeral parlor and tell them, don't even put them in the car. Just go on straight to the cemetery. Don't come out of church. You can't miss verse 17, verse 16, 17. He said, listen, our responsibility is to go with the good news. If they refuse us, he said, then leave them. If they don't want to receive what you're bringing, shake the dust off your feet and go about your business. Go to the next likely candidate. I've said it before, and I'll say, I believe we can fill this church up in 6 weeks. If we leave here every Sunday and get one or two more and one or two more, in 6 weeks, we'd be standing around the wall saying, oh, we got to build this old building, keep on leaning, especially on this side right here. We got to get us a brand new home. I believe God more than I believe anybody. You know why? Because he told us, go get them and bring them. And he didn't say put them on the Amtrak train. He said train them. Training requires some discipline, attention to detail. Everybody in this room ought to be qualified to do the ministry. All you gotta do is open your book. If you don't remember anything else, you can use Matthew Mark, M-A-R-K, 16. You can use that the rest of your life and grow a church for the Lord's glory. Your cousins, your nieces, your nephew, your husband, your boyfriend, your significant others, your whatever you want to call them, and say, listen, you do know if you refuse, you condemn. I don't need you to tell me that. I'm not telling you. I'm repeating what Jesus said. You can always hear what, you know, the Lord say. But you can't say what the Lord say if you don't know he said it. Amen. It's critically important, fancy time. It's critically important that we do this. You are not going to be able to convict folk that you ain't been convicted. Excuse me, I said, you're not going to be able to convince folk if you haven't been convicted. Thank you. First day of my new tongue, I bought this one from Walmart. The one I had from Sears, the warranty went out. You do understand that God is not playing with us. And it ought to bother us when we come into the house of God and the house is not in order. Have you ever gone any place and walked around and said, what is going on? Amen. I don't want to eat in a restaurant where nobody else eats. That means something may not be right here. I don't want to be the only one in a football stadium at a football game. I mean, I need to know that there's some other folk feeling what I'm feeling. Some other folk know what I know. You know, you get on an airplane and you see the pilot going out with a parachute, that's a bad sign. Amen. So where he going? It's on autopilot, you'd be just fine. No, I'm getting out. If you're going to surgery and the doctor look like he in bad shape, hey, hold on, doc, who working on you? You know, you can't tell me this shouldn't bother us. We lack discipline when it comes. I'm telling you, I've gone on y'all jobs, some of y'all and other folk in this ministry, and you're there all the time. Rarely do I go anywhere looking for folk and don't find them. So how come I can't see you here? You lack discipline. I mean, y'all make sure I see you. Hey, Pastor. You want folk to know you go to church. I see what you're doing. Okay, but how is it that we say we believe but don't attend to what we believe? I attend to what I believe. When I was in the military, I attended the military thing. When I was a state trooper, I attended. I looked the part. I made sure I did everything that was necessary. And so when it comes to the things of God, should we not have the same wherewithal, same tenacity, same commitment? Amen. Praise our God. He said, listen, anybody who doesn't believe, they're under condemnation. We don't have to send nobody to hell. We don't have to wish nothing bad upon you. That's not even our way of doing ministry. Don't ever do that. Don't listen. Herefore, when you go to minister to people, you don't have to try to threaten them. Just tell them the truth. You don't tell folk, hey, you know, if you don't do that, nothing, you don't come out. Listen, there are some folk we don't really want to have to tell that kind of stuff. Because our church ain't for everybody. I understand that. I realize that. I'm glad there are options as it relates to where you go to church. But there is no option as to who is the church. There's one Lord. So all that old hippity-hoppity stuff, you can stop doing that if that's what you. No, you must attend to God. If you're a good Christian, you can go to church anywhere and enjoy it too. And you ain't got to get, well, you know, I y'all ain't like our church. If you love the Lord, you're going to worship him everywhere you go. You will lift up your voice in any place and praise God. If you really a good, if you're a true disciple of the Lord, it is not just when you in your church that you jump up and down and wave and clap and sing. Don't get up in somebody else's church and try to act like you know, you're so dignified. I don't know, y'all pastor. No. If you love the Lord, you will worship him everywhere. Amen. In fact, if you go somewhere and folk ain't getting it right, show them how to do it. This is how we do it. Say, oh, you came and set our house on fire. Amen. I know when I go to church, everywhere I go, I'm going to enjoy the worship. Amen. Every choir in the Gospel Music Workshop of America. But you know what they're singing. You know what they're intending to do. Just say amen. Do like the old folk used to do when we had the youth choir and I was going, bless y'all babies. Y'all go ahead now. They was encouraging us. They said, oh, look, they go ahead and bless them. And they would clap. And, you know, we thought we were doing something. And Lord knows, when they clap, we tried a little harder. We were like Avis. We tried harder. No, they didn't sit there and go, them children ain't got no business up there. They didn't do that. They might have been thinking it, but they didn't. They why? Because you know, if they had not encouraged us, we gonna figure ain't none of us coming here. You gotta encourage one another. Amen. I've taken too much of y'all time. Thank you so very much. I'm gonna mark my paper so nobody can't tell me I didn't get this far, and we'll come back next time and the Lord give us an opportunity. Amen. All right. Let's pray.